Looks like it's us. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now, we're going to come back to that deny thing in a minute. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Does anybody remember what that word study there is?
Well, I remember the word dokimo, which was make haste to present yourself to God.
Right. The word study there is this. It's not study as we understand it. It's the idea.
Oh yeah, that was spoudasa.
Huh?
I was reading what I wrote there, but I.
Well, what did you write?
That there were two different words. One was spoudasa, to study, and the other was dokimo. Anyway.
Okay. And now I lost my place. Oh, there we are. Rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now what does it mean to say the resurrection is past already?
I think it's just a history book, and that it's something that happened, but it doesn't.
Let's go to 1 Timothy. I mean, excuse me, y'all. That's not what I wanted to do. First Corinthians 15. We're going to read the first few verses because it's very important. It's the same thing that is saying the resurrection is past already. Chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And so that's the same. In Timothy, the warning is don't tell, saying that the resurrection is past already. And what it essentially means is that there is no resurrection of the dead, i.e. us. You understand? And so there was. It became, as you said, a philosophy instead of a reality. Then in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So that's what this Hymenaeus and Philetus were teaching, among others, that the resurrection is past already. And so the gospel became, as Pete said, just a philosophy instead of a power. And then it goes on, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, many times over the past, well, since we've been doing the investigations and the airing of them, I have been criticized greatly because I mentioned the names of the people who are heretics. And I didn't know this scripture existed when I was being accused, so I didn't have any answer. But the idea that Paul here specifically named the names of the people that were teaching heresy, I mean, it was a warning. So, let's go over to chapter 3 now of 2 Timothy. Well, let's start in chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that have opposed themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. As we've talked, that's one of the most... Did you find it?
We were at 2 Timothy.
Huh?
You were 2 Timothy.
Yeah, we started in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, okay. And now we're looking at verse 26.
I thought you said 4.
Huh?
I heard 4, not 24.
Oh, okay. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That one, that just doesn't seem right to our minds. Who was taken captive by the snare of the devil? Anybody? In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. So it's those that oppose themselves that are taken captive by him at his will. Now, how do you oppose yourself? You oppose yourself by saying and believing that you are still alive. Anybody buy that? You understand it? Because if Christ only is raised from the dead, he's raised from the dead in us, but he isn't raised from the dead unless we are dead. Now, dead means dead. Means no more leaning on your own arm of understanding for everything. Dead means that you live by faith alone. And this, again, as I've talked about 100 times, the idea of living by faith alone is the scariest thing that a man can conceive of. Because you can never again lean on your own arm of understanding. You cannot use your mind to gain or to do anything. And this is where the tire meets the road. This is the difference between preaching the power of God and denying the power of God. Anybody? Or do you not believe? Oh, you I told you, you don't have to raise your hand, ever.
What's the rage and an old man there were two guys.
I didn't understand you,
sorry. What's a rich man? It was another guy who was on the streets.
Yeah, the rich man and the guy that was homeless. And the rich man said he thanks God that he's not like other men.
Both of them that were dead.
Hmm?
Both of them. You're talking about Lazarus?
No.
Oh.
I think it's Luke 16, but I may not remember right. The odds are that I don't remember right, but let me look at Luke. If I'm right, there'll be great rejoicing. I'm not right, so there's no rejoicing. That's your homework, to look that up. But it was the one that was a Pharisee and a publican. And the Pharisee looked up to God and said, "Thank God that I'm not like other men." And the Pharisee, the publican, tax collector, said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And so that's that, but I can't find it right now. All right, so this is a biggie. If you are taken captive by the devil at his will.
There's a coyote.
on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Walter. Oh, yeah.
He's a very skinny coyote.
Yeah.
Where's
the coyote?
Yeah, coyote. Yeah.
Oh, we were interrupted for a coyote. But that's all right. Do you understand that you are taken captive by him at his will? Does anybody believe that?
You're kind of in another world here almost to this dead stuff.
Hmm?
With the, if you are dead, you are dead. Who's to judge whether you're dead or not? And what is dead?
It's very easy. If you're dead, you live by faith alone. If you're not dead, you live by your mind. That's the bottom line. If you're still living there by your mind, then you're taken captive by him at his will. Why? Because one of his minions is still in control. Your mind is still in control over you, as opposed to the mystery of God. It's either faith or no faith. There's no in between. This life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not my faith any longer. My faith was worthless. His faith is revealed only in your abandonment of self. This is why, this is where the tire meets the road in your life. This is the God, this is the dividing line. This is the bright shining light between the mystery of God and man just doing this shtick. Shtick, I can't even pronounce that word. Shtick.
Very good.
But anyway, you must have... Do you agree with this? If you agree with this, then do you repent when you're using your mind?
Amen. Yes.
Do you get upset when someone reminds you that you're using your mind? Probably. It's either faith or it's no faith. There's no in between.
What is the evidence of faith?
Hmm?
What is the evidence that you're living by faith?
Then you're dead. You stop leaning on your own arm of understanding for anything. And if you find yourself you do, you say, Father, forgive me. But if you justify yourself living in your mind, then you are they that justify yourselves among men. For God knoweth. What does he know? You are they that justify yourselves among men. Do we do that? If we do, then we need to repent instantly.
Yeah.
And we justify ourselves when we don't live by faith. We have to find a way of justifying it. Now let's go to Luke 16. I must have been there in the first place. Verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, You are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So whatever that you're doing that's esteemed among men That's abomination unto God. You have a value system that's the same as the world's, and you're esteemed the same as the world esteems. And you better find out which God you're serving. And how do you justify yourselves? You find a half a scripture that justifies you. All right, back to Luke. Timothy. Now I lost Timothy. It's because I took the book. All right, 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers, agapeo, of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now this power here isn't dynamo, it's dunamis. And a dunamis is, well, that's what I did when I was a kid. I planted watermelon seeds, and then I went and dug them up to see if they were growing. Well, that's denying the power. You deny the power thereof, and it's rampant in the world now, in modern Christianity. It's involvement in politics, involvement in the world, and they justify it before men. So they're denying the power, the efficacy of the mystery of God. And they live by their own arm of understanding, and they search out scriptures to justify, well, half scriptures to justify what they're doing. This is why it's either faith or it's no faith. There's no middle ground. We live by faith, or we live by no faith. And it's all right if you're living by no faith, but repent of it. But if you justify yourselves, that's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. And that's a dumb question. That's a dumb statement. If you don't believe, you're dead. Preaching the cross is the power of God with my help. No. If your help is there, there's no power of God, because he abandons. He leaves. He goes to, as I've talked about often, he goes to that deepest, darkest dungeon within you as the temple of God. It's one of the, if you've watched any of the, before Easter, there are all these programs about Jerusalem and what they're finding. They're digging down deeper and deeper and deeper below the temple. And they're finding all kinds of stuff. Well, that's what we need to do. We need to dig deeper and deeper and deeper so that we forget the physical temple when we see our own death. But we are buried in that deepest, 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 deepest part. You live by faith alone. You cannot live by faith. You cannot serve God and mammon. There's no in-between. And mammon is what, as we've said, was that it's all the things that you relied on in the past are mammon. You can't live by God and mammon.
Yeah, when you were talking about digging deeper, reminded me of Ezekiel 8, when you dig to see your true self hidden behind the deep in your mind, it's full of creepy, crawly things.
Let's go there. That's a good one. Go to Ezekiel 8. But if I'm not, if it isn't at Ezekiel 8, then it's Pete's fault. Because I wouldn't have remembered it's Ezekiel 8. And Pete gets the credit. We'll just start in verse 5. Then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. And he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. We've talked many times about you're sending God away off because you're praying for something in the future.
You're leaving the moment.
You're leaving the moment. Whenever you leave the moment, you send God afar off. Verse 7, and he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And here keeps saying, you know, no, I don't want to dig. I'm not going to dig. But you got to dig. I digged in the wall, and behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing and abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. Now that's because we're looking in at our mind and we're seeing all the images and all the world value systems and even our perverted view of the gospel. And it's all on the, that's what's written on the walls of our mind. And then go on. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Saphan. Jazaniah is a type of the Antichrist. With every man his censer in his hand. And the thick cloud of incense went up. Every man's got the incense in his hand. When that's only the high priest, the priest that can have the incense. And so we are kidding ourselves because we think our prayers are something. You know, anyway, that's a whole other world. Then he said to me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord has forsaken the earth. And that's what we say every time we lean on our own arm of understanding about an issue or a thing or any ideas. And he said unto me, Turn yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Well, we'll look at greater abominations tomorrow. And this is always, this is a, this, gospel is almost impossible to see, and it's almost impossible to fit, to live by, because this evil one, our minds, are trying constantly to keep themselves, to keep us in the picture. And it never stops. Pretty soon, you get so tired of that that you just tell that son of a bitch to go bury himself. You can't stand the duality any longer. And when you come to the place where you can't stand this duality, half faith, half man, then you will hear. If you repent. Amen. So everybody says amen. Whether they do or not, it's still amen. Take it, big guy.